I want us really just to think about the fruit of the Spirit tonight, the fruit of the Spirit. I remember reading a story some time ago of a preacher. He was preaching, and as he preached, he had two jars sitting in front of him in the pulpit. And these two jars looked exactly the same. They were pretty, they were nice, and they were just exactly the same, and they just sat there. And every so often, as he preached, he referred to these jars, and they were just looked the same. They were very pretty, and they were very nice. And then at one point in his sermon, he took them up, and the contents of these jars he poured into two bowls. And although they looked pretty on the outside and looked the same on the outside, one of them was full of vinegar, and the other was full of honey. And the point he was making was this, that Christianity, the value of our Christianity, the reality of our Christianity, is only really tested when we're tipped. Tested when we're tipped. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. How do we react when we're tipped? How do we react when somebody stands on the toes? How do we react when we're under pressure? How do we react when we're criticised, when we're rejected? How do we react when things are not going the way we want them to go? How do we react? That's the test of our Christianity. You see, Christianity is really nothing to do with what we look like on the outside. It's nothing to do with it. It's what we are on the inside. That's what really matters. And you know, we can come to all the meetings and we can have our best suits on and we can be really spruced up in our expensive aftershave and we can have all that and drive up in our big fancy cars and look the part and have our big Bible and preach and pray. But what happens when we're fit? What happens when we're fit? So we're going to do a wee bit of a self-evaluation tonight. And we're going to just highlight one or two little scenarios. We're going to ask the question, what happens when we're in these scenarios? What is manifest? What comes out? You see, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 6, he talks about the corrupt tree and the good tree, and he talks about the corrupt fruit and the good fruit. You see, it's what is in that comes out. The Lord Jesus says, out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, man's. So suppose you are faced with a situation where there's an opportunity to serve somebody, to minister to someone, to help somebody. How do you react? Do you react in a spirit of love? Do you move towards that person with a spirit of self-sacrifice, being prepared to pour out yourself for that person's good because you love them? Or when you're faced with an opportunity to serve someone, to minister to someone, to help someone, are you marked by self-love and say, well, you know, I don't want to get involved. It's going to cost me something. I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the effort. And rather than demonstrating that sacrificial love towards them, we're marked by self-love that draws us away from the situation and leaves the person lying there in their need. How do we react when we're hit? Are we marked by love? Grasping every opportunity to serve another. Or are we marked by self-love? Withdrawing from others in order to preserve ourselves. Or maybe self-love manifests itself in a slightly different way that will help someone, that we help someone because we're hoping to get something in return for ourselves. I don't have time to apply all these things to the Lord Jesus, but, you know, we can think about his love, can't we? Selfless. I suppose we could write one word over the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus, others. Never once did he think about himself. He didn't say to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, do you realise what time it is? I've had a hard day. He would go to the well at Sychar and he would sit there as the sun beat down upon him because he had love in his heart for a poor immoral woman. And what the disciples said to the little children, just, you know, the master's too busy. The Lord Jesus says, just let the little children come to me. So So when we're faced with an opportunity to share, are we marked by love? Or are we marked by self-love? When we're faced with a situation that throws all our plans, all our preconceived plans, when it throws them all into the air, how do we react? The spirit of joy. Accepting everything is from God and realizing that He's got a higher plan and a higher purpose. Or do we get frustrated and become irritable and angry? You know, when you've got all your plans laid out for the day and suddenly they knock at the door and somebody comes to visit you. You don't see anything, do you, but they're boiling away inside them. We don't like getting our plans upset, do we? You know, we want everything just to be keeping going smoothly in our life. And when it doesn't go smooth and things get upset, when the car breaks down, when the car doesn't start, when we're suddenly involved in an accident or something happens and the train's late, the bus is late, and we get frustrated. Instead of just counting it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation, diverse trials, that's how James says we should react. So the Lord reacted, wasn't it? Even when faced with the cross, when everything had suddenly turned against him and everyone turned against him, it was with the cross wounding across his path then. He speaks to his disciples in the upper room about his love, and he spoke to them about his joy. You see, joy, happiness is dependent on circumstances, isn't it? The joy shouldn't be dependent on circumstances. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is a spiritual quality that is deep down within us, if we're spiritual. Joy is something we should manifest regardless of the circumstances that we're in. But if you're honest, and I'm honest tonight, so often when our plans are interrupted, there's anything but joy in our face, and there's anything but joy in our heart, there's frustration, and there's irritability, and there's anger. And we think we're spiritual. We think we're spiritual. And yet we're marked by self-love, and we're marked by irritability, and we're marked by frustration. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? In me. When I'm ticked. When we experience things that are harmful. Harmful to us physically, domestically, financially. What do we exhibit? Do we exhibit peace? Or worry? Worry? Dr. Stuart Gillespie would be out of a job if people didn't worry. What do you need four doctors up there that you'd come up if there was no worry? One man would be able to run the whole show. No worry, no depression, no anxiety. It's in us all, isn't it? But you know, if we're really spiritual, if we're really living in the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, then it doesn't matter the changing circumstances around it, it doesn't matter the harm and the hurt that's coming to us, we'll still be marked by peace. We go to the upper room ministry again, don't we? And the Lord Jesus is facing the cross with all its hurt and all its agony and its anguish and its pain. He says to these men, "My peace I give unto you. My peace, not as the world gives, my peace." Is that how we react? And some of the redundancy notice lands on our desk. Peace. The examination takes place at the doctor's and the prognosis is given, cancer or whatever, peace. Or worry, or anxiety, or agitation, or concern. The Bible says we should be anxious for nothing. Peter says, cast all your care on him, he cares for you. It's easy to say all these things, isn't it? It's easy to say. What are the reality? When the rubber hits the road, when we're tipped, what comes in? What's in people? What we really are is manifest when we're tipped. Make no mistake about it. Out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks. People fall short of their expectations. We're marked by long suffering. And we get quick temper. Think of the Lord Jesus, think of his long suffering. There was not one of these men that he had round about him that lived up to his expectations, were there? You know, I don't know how he thought of them. The most favoured men on the planet. Yet they were so stubborn, they were so self-willed, they were so ignorant. Yet he was long-suffering with her, wasn't he? He was patient with her. Never lost the plot. Never lost his temper. Just dealt with her in a patient, long-suffering manner. Is that how we deal with people that don't rise up to their expectations? I'm glad that God is long-suffering with me. Because I'm no different from any of these 12 men that followed the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth. There's times that I'm so ignorant, I'm so stubborn, I'm so self-willed, and yet he's so gentle, and he's so long-suffering with me. And yet I'm so quick-tempered with others. Yeah? When people don't see things the way we see it, when people cross us, when people don't seem to be making the progress that we want to see, and when people do things that we've told them 100 times no to do, how do we react? Fly off the handle of them. Give up on them. We're marked by long suffering. How do we react when we're tipped? People are inconsiderate to us. Do they react with gentleness, softness, or tenderness, or harshness, roughness in our manners, in our temper, in our words? Here are the words spoken about the Lord Jesus when he was reviled. He reviled not yet.
When he suffered, he threatened not. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that would pluck off the hair.
How do we react when people are inconsiderate to us, when people are treating us badly, are treating ours badly? You know, sometimes we get more concerned about how people treat our family than how they even treat us. Don't touch my family. When people are inconsiderate to us and to ours, do we just react with gentleness, fruit of the Spirit? Or are we hard? Are we harsh? Are we dealings with others? When I see an evil in someone's life, do I exhibit goodness or meanness?
You know, when I see someone in need, am I moved to do something, to help them, to act benevolently towards them? Or do I withhold from them that which I have to meet their need?
And I know I've got to be careful, and I've got to be careful in the type of work that I'm involved in. If I was given to everybody that asked for it, I would be a pauper a long, long time ago. I would have a few people outside the cafe every morning if I was just giving and giving and giving and giving. So that you've got to use wisdom, but I'm thinking about the general run-of-the-mill situation. You know, what does it say about the Lord Jesus? It says, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He went about doing good. Jesus was a doer. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. That's our problem. We've got too many people that can talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. People that got all right on the outside that look good.
Look impressive, but inside,
did it really match? It was a lie. It was a lie. So how do we react then? When we see someone in need, someone that needs something, do we respond with goodness? Or do we respond with meanness? When we are challenged in our beliefs, do we exercise faith? Or do we start to doubt? You know, we're living in a day when our faith and our beliefs are constantly under attack. Whether it's in the newspaper, or the television, or whatever media, and constantly, what we stand for as believers, it's under attack. And do we start to doubt and question it all? Or are we resting in our faith in God and in His unerring work? And even when things in our life start to collapse around us, when all that we thought was so stable and so secure, when it's all suddenly rocked and it all starts to fall apart, do we start doubting God? Or is our faith such that takes us through every storm and every circumstance? How do we react to it? What comes out? When someone is causing trouble, being argumentative, complaining about others, are we marked by meekness? Moving into the situation, seeking to be a peacemaker, seeking to bring reconciliation, or do we move into that situation and create more discord and more disharmony and more trouble? It's easier to be a troublemaker than a peacemaker, isn't it? Seen that in assembly life over the years, haven't we? Seems to be far more troublemakers than peacemakers. Might be quite very spiritual. So how do we react? Whether it's in the home, in our domestic situation, or our work situation, or the assembly situation, when there's discord, when there's disharmony, when there's trouble brewing, how do we react? Do we dive in the middle and revel in it all and stir it all up? Are we marked by meekness? Pouring oil in troubled waters, is it there? Giving that soft answer that comes away right, bringing warring parties together. Are we peacemakers or are we troublemakers? And finally, when something tries to control our mind, our will, our emotions, our life, do we exhibit temperance? Or do we exhibit self-indulgence? Do we give in? Do we give in to temptations? Are we marked by temperance? Temperance is not so much self-control. How can self control self? You know, if we're relying on self-control, then we're going to fail. Because self can never control self. Temperance is not self-control. Temperance, here it is, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's spirit control. It's a spirit-controlled life. And if we're going to overcome the many temptations that we're faced with in life, the world wants to control us. And the world wants to bring us under its bondage in so many different ways, and Satan wants to bring us under his bondage in so many different ways, he'll try to do that. And when we're faced with the temptation to do that which is wrong, to sin against God, to err from his ways, are we exercising temperance, spirit control, power against that temptation? Or are we marked by self-indulgence, giving into it? Giving into the temptation to sin, giving into the world as it allures us with its pleasure and its power and its popularity. Do we give in? Or do we stand firm? Or do we come in? Or are our lives under the control and the influence and the power of the Spirit? So my little message to you tonight, and to my heart, is simply this. How do we react when we're tempted? How do we react when we're tempted? Spirituality has got nothing to do with the number of meetings that you come, or the type of meetings that you go to. way you dress. See, now you do that. See, now you do with the things that we say. It's got nothing to do with the amount of knowledge that we have. Although all these things are important, but spirituality is how we react. How we react in the changing circumstances of life. What is in, what we really are, will be seen. Not in the good days, but what we really are will be seen in the bad days. Will be seen in the days when everything just seems to be going wrong. How do we react? Thank you.